is gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all
we come.
God says in his word, Romans 13:7, that we as Christians must give honor to whom honor is due. In January 2014, we, the ministry staff and co-laborers in the gospel, will honor our man of God, Dr. John Montgomery.
You recognize that if you're going to deal, dwell, or be anywhere God is, you're going to be required to change your life.
In recognition of his 25th year of pastoral service, ministry, and leadership at our church, community, his city, state, and nation. Dr. Montgomery's silver anniversary will be celebrated the entire month of January. This month-long celebration will culminate on Monday, January 24th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Greater King David Baptist Church Multicultural and Educational Center, 222 Blount Road, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Montgomery has truly been a blessing to so many near and far. Join us in exhibiting grand love and support for our great and deserving leader. Your words of kindness, fellowship, and gifts of love will be appreciated. No gift is too small, and certainly no gift is too large. We pray multitudinous returns on your gift. Please send all gifts to Dr. John Montgomery, care of Reverend Daniel Smith, 911 Lodell Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Make all checks payable to Dr. John Montgomery. For additional information on exciting events for Dr. Montgomery, phone 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.
We come from this far back.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Now we pray that you'd meet us in the text and tell her the truth, that every hearer's heart might hear what you have to say to us. And then, God, give us power to practice principles received from this word, that we might profit and give you the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
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 I want to call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to get through as much of it as I possibly can, but I want to begin at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says, beginning at verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I want to stop right there. For just a little while, I want to talk from the subject, living for God isn't easy, but it's right. You may be seated. Living for God isn't easy, but it's right. I want you to encourage your neighbor this morning, because you don't know what he or she is going through. Look at him and say, neighbor, living for God isn't easy, but it's right. Now, if you really believe it, come on, give God some praise, because I believe just that is enough to encourage somebody who's going through some things or who have some things going through them. Look at what he says. Therefore, seeing. Now, we don't need to get past this second word without understanding that we have a participatory part in understanding what Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, to the church of Christ, to the believers, to you, to me. Therefore, seeing. What are we seeing, Paul? We have this ministry. We have this ministry as we have received what? As we have received mercy, here's what he wants to know. That's the reason we haven't fainted. If you're going to do effective ministry, you're going to need some mercy. Somebody's not hearing me today. I said, if you're going to do effective ministry, you're going to need mercy. He says, I want to make it clear, seeing we have this ministry, what we have been given, we've not been given because we're so good. We've not been given because we are all of that. We've been given because we've been chosen to do what we do. And because we've been chosen, it's not us, but rather what's in us that God has chosen to place in us. And as a result, whatever we need for the journey, whatever we need to complete the mission, he has equipped us with enough mercy so that the mission will be successful. So I think it's important for us to understand. He says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Listen, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the fruits commended. The truth, rather, commended. Listen, the fruit of the truth is the word of God being demonstrated in the lives where what is being spoken becomes a reality. In other words, what we say, we then see. The fruit of truth should be produced so that the works look like the word and the word look like the works. It's one thing to say I'm this and don't have no proof of it. But it's another thing to say I'm this and there's all the proof you need to back it up. Some of us claim we're witnesses, but that would not be if we were put in a court of law and had to testify. Many of us would not even have enough evidence to make sure that our testimony would go through. We would be indicted for not being what we say we are as witnesses of the King. And so it's important to understand, while he's making all of this clear, the believer has got to understand where they are. They've got to understand who they are. They've got to understand what they are in order to do a ministry that's worth being done. Look again at what it says. Now, when he talks about having this ministry and walking in it, not in craftiness, there were a whole lot of false prophets. There were a whole lot of naysayers. There were a whole lot of religious folk, but not righteous folk. And they handled the word deceitfully, craftily. They handled the word so that the word brought about what they wanted to produce from the word. You see, one of the interesting things about the word is the word itself, if you take the whole word, will explain itself by the Spirit of truth. In other words, if you let the word be the word, the Spirit of the living God will take that word and give to you knowledge. From that knowledge, bring to you revelation. The revelation that you get from the knowledge is so that we will understand more clearly the mystery and the plan of God for man. when we understand this, it is to better man, not benefit from man. And many have been taking the word not to better man, but to benefit from man. In other words, they'd make the word say what they wanted to say, eisegesis, putting in it what it didn't say, or taking surfacely a meaning and adding to it what it wasn't. You know how you can pick up the word, take it out of context, and say the word says this? Yes, the word says that, but did the word mean that? And so when you don't understand how to put the word in its proper context and to delve the meaning from the text and the context, it then gives you all the supporting roles to understanding the word the way that it should be when you just add what you think it says, what you feel it says, what you heard it says, and other influences from without. It does not give the true integrity of the word. Thus, it does not allow the word to do what God designed the word to do. Listen, God is not under warrant to do what you say about the word. He's under warrant to do what he said about the word. That's why we've got to know what the word says. That's why we have got to study to show ourselves. Too many of us depend too much on the teacher and the preacher to give us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Listen, do you know when it all comes down? Yes, they're accountable. Yes, they're responsible. But can I tell you, you are as well? There was a group of people called the Bereans. When they heard the word, the Bible says they checked the word out daily to see if those things they were being taught and preached were so. Why? Because too many of us have lived lies that sound good. Many of us have lived a lot of the religious cliches that sounded good but had no biblical foundation or stability behind it. And so as a result of that, they have based promises on what God has not promised, or on truths that were taken out of context. He's saying we have not dealt this way with the word of God or with the people of God. We have commended ourselves to every man's consciousness. You see, when you become so serious about the word that you want to make sure that you do what you're supposed to do the way you're supposed to do it, because not only in the consciousness of man are you accountable, but you're also doing this in the sight of God. Look at what verse 3 says. But if our, what? Gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Listen, there are some people who believe not. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Yeah, God has said it, but they still don't believe it. And all of them are not in the world. Some of y'all gonna catch that on your way home. Some of them sit right on the pews next to you. Could even be you. You don't understand that if God said it, that whether you believe it or not, that settles it. Because all of the power and all of the force of that reality coming to pass is on God's side. His word is said, is spoken, is declared, and his power performs it. His zeal brings it to pass. Listen, the only reason why he lets or allows you to believe it is so that you can join in the blessing. But if you choose not to get the blessing, then you're sure going to learn a lesson. And the lesson is, if you don't believe God, you won't be blessed of God. But God's still going to do what he said he's going to do. And so as a result of that, you begin to understand that you don't want to be in that believing not crowd, because they miss out on the blessings of God. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And he goes on to say, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. For we preach not ourselves. Now, this is one of the things that we also want to make sure that we understand as preachers, ministers, as sharers of the gospel, that you don't put yourself above Jesus. That you don't have a self-promoting gospel. Because I've got news for you. If you just hold him up high enough, if you just let the light shine bright enough, you will share in the glory as he is glorified, as one who lifts him up and gives men the opportunity to see the light of the world. Sooner or later, when they see the light, they're going to see who's shining the light. You ain't got to brag on yourself. The Lord will do it for you if you do a good enough job. If you do what he said do, God will bring your name up. You remember when Satan came to church and he was looking for somebody to mess over, somebody who was really a formidable foe? God said to him, have you considered my servant Job? Listen and brag that there's none like him in all the earth. Man, when God starts talking about you like that, you're somebody. When he listen, look at what Satan said. Yeah, I know Job. But I also know you got a hedge around Job. Now, why would God have a hedge around Job if Job wasn't special to God? And Job became special to God because God was special to Job. Are y'all hearing me here? When you make God special to you, then you become special to God. When you do what thus saith the Lord will keep his hand upon you and protect you from all evil. And if he allows you to go through a test, it's only so he can reveal his best. Every test I go through, it is for me. And I got to keep that in mind when the devil starts messing with my mind, that all God is trying to do is reveal the best in me. And the best has to come through a test. Oh, you want to have all of the glory of being a good Christian, a strong believer, and all of that, but you don't want to go through nothing to be proven that. Well, it's easy for us to talk the talk. It's a whole nother thing to walk the walk. And it's in the walking of the walk that God receives the glory and you receive the good. Now look at this, my brothers and sisters, because as we walk through this word, look at verse 6. It says, for God who commended the light to shine out of darkness. Now look, when I read this, I got excited. Most of us take a light and shine into darkness. But God commended the light to shine out of the darkness. Now, I know that still hadn't resonated with some of you, but let me just take my time and walk through that part again, because you're going to understand how that also relates to you. Listen, in every one of us, just like the beginning of creation, we were filled with sin and with darkness. Just like the beginning of creation, we were without void, or we were void and without form and shapeless, etc. But listen, it wasn't until God spoke, it wasn't until God decreed, it wasn't until God commended what he wanted to happen in us to happen, that it happened. In spite of who we were. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we get it together. That means we were in darkness. And right in the midst of darkness, he told the light, shine. I want you to hear me here. Because when the devil try to make you think you ain't all of that, you got to say, you're right, but he is. And because he is, and he's on the inside of me, he can make light shine out of this darkness. That's why you don't have to be perfect for God to use you. You've just got to be used by a perfect God. When the devil try to show you that you're not all this and you're not that and you don't have this and you don't have that, you say, right, but he commended the light. And the light has got to shine even if it comes out of darkness. Listen, the commending of the light, listen, was in spite of the darkness. I said the commending of the light was in spite of the darkness. And so when you begin to realize, wait a minute, God can use me in spite of me for his glory. I ain't all I'm going to be yet, but right now he can still call for the light out of darkness. Listen, listen. When you begin to look at this word, and understand how God does it. And that amazes me, because you know yourself in this flesh. You got issues. Whatever the issues are, they are issues. And they're issues that don't belong to saints, but to sinners. And yet, you become convicted sometime your own self that God would even use you. It might be because your mouth say what it wants to say. It don't always speak holy words. It just might be when you come to yourself. Because when you let yourself go, anything could come up out of your. And if you forget yourself sitting right here, you're liable to say anything. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? It could be with your mind, the thoughts you think. It could be with your eyes, the way you look. It could be with your hands, putting it on stuff that don't belong to you. Barring and not giving back. I mean, it could be all kind of stuff. Whatever your issues are, in spite of that, God can show you that when he calls forth the light to shine, it has the power to do so out of, in spite of, darkness. But listen to this. Let me just go on to verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I like the transitional word, but. Because what he's saying is, listen, though we're trying to be all we ought to be, trying to do all that we ought to do, we're trying to work in good conscience and be everything. Listen, in spite of the fact that we fall short, in spite of the fact that we are not yet perfect, yet God himself chose to look beyond our faults. But. Listen again. He makes this clear. We have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. And my brothers and sisters, I mean, there are so many things I can say about both about the treasure and about the vessels. But suffice it to say this, that when the treasure is worthy of being treasured, it has to be placed in a vessel that can contain it. Because sometimes the vessel, if it is not right, can cause the treasure to go bad. If you're storing food and you don't put it in the right container, the container, listen, sometimes the container itself, depending on what treasure it is or what contents being put in there, can compromise the interior of the vessel and cause there to be a mingling of the properties of both the treasure and the vessel, so much so it becomes contaminated. And you can't use the treasure no more because the vessel done messed it up. Are y'all hearing me here? So you got to make sure that the vessel is appropriately matched so that there are no compositional differences that will compromise the integrity of both. In other words, the vessel has got to be what the vessel is and cannot vacillate from one thing to the next, so that it doesn't compromise what the treasure is. So like the treasure went in, whenever it's pulled out, it'll look like it was when it was stored. I wish I had somebody in the house. And so God wants us to know that we have this, Paul speaks, this treasure in earthen vessels. Now that's enough to shout on right there. That he would trust us enough to put this treasure on the inside of us and to trust us with being able to handle this situation. Look again at what he says. He says, vessels that